It is time. After a short two-week hiatus for Thing Not a Thing, the game in which Gene and I take a look at all the things that have people upset on social media this week, and we decide, is it a thing or is it not a thing? And we took a two-week hiatus for the last couple of weeks just because between COVID-19 and the anti-racism movement, those were the only two things that people were talking about, and those were obviously things, so... our job was very easy, and it was easy enough that we were able to just forego. But there's a lot that people are talking about this week, so we can go rapid fire through a bunch, right?
Right. The thing, not a thing, lightning round.
The lightning round.
My first thing, the first thing I would say is that the Supreme Court is still a thing.
Apparently, yeah. No, I So I was very surprised with the decision. Very, very surprised and pleasantly so with the decision on gay rights last week. And I'm shocked that was just a week and a half ago.
Yeah, I know it feels like a lot longer, but you know, there's still a thing and full of surprises. So that really knocked me back a little bit, especially Gorsuch writing the majority opinion. But and then they've knocked down something else that is not coming to my mind right now. But they're going to be ruling on the ACA in the next couple of days, I guess, or next week. And I think that the president is due to receive a couple of more losses.
Yeah.
Because the court is not his political arm, and I'm glad to see them demonstrating that.
Yeah.
So they're still a thing.
They're still a thing, and I think also a thing is the fact that as political as conversations about the court often get, and as like highly polarized and partisan as we tend to be when we're talking about Supreme Court decisions, the judges are still judges at the end of the day. And sometimes even if they don't politically agree with what the law tells them their decision needs to be, they're still going to follow the law the vast majority of the time, which is nice.
Right.
It's nice to be reminded of that every so often. That ACA decision isn't going to be coming up anytime soon. I think they're having arguments on that soon, and then the decision won't come until later, but it'll be an interesting case to see.
Oh, I don't know. I think they'll expedite that, don't you? I mean, there was already a case in front of them about trying to undo the entire ACA.
Well, they've had several of those.
But I think they just filed the administration just filed another just did another filing like last night or yesterday or something. And but I don't know. I think especially because of the pandemic, I think that will be decided quickly.
So that's thing number one. Thing number two, the North Carolina General Assembly. A lot of people were talking about this early this morning, because I think the news reports were a little bit sketchy because all of this happened at like 1:30 in the morning and everyone was kind of foggy. But
right.
News reports that the General Assembly was trying to make it illegal to wear a face mask. I'm going to say not a thing because that's not exactly what was going on, but...
Right.
But still, an interesting thing to follow at 1:30 in the morning.
So two things. First of all, I don't know about you, but I don't tend to make my best decisions at 1:30 in the morning.
I've done some pretty good stuff, though. I don't generally make good decisions at normal times of the day. So
probably made some of my most interesting decisions at that time, but in the longer view, maybe not the best decisions. So that's one thing. The second thing, though, is I learned from this story. Or I was reminded from this story that the fact is, in North Carolina, it is illegal to wear a mask in public.
Right. And that was
an
anti-KKK law that was passed in the 50s, right?
Exactly. Yeah. In the 50s, right. And what happened is that the NCGA effectively passed a waiver for this earlier this year. That expires on August 1st. And so the discussion is, do they extend the waiver?
Right.
And considering the origins of that law, I think that probably continuing the waiver is the thing to do. We certainly don't want to do anything to encourage any form of resurgence of the Klan.
Well,
so I do think it's it's a little bit of a thing, but it's interesting to see the NCGA doing these ridiculous things.
Yeah.
Ridiculous in that they're doing this at 1:30 in the morning.
Well, I think what happened was it was 1:30 in the morning, and they decided not to make a decision. And because it was so late at night / early in the morning, and then because they didn't make a decision, they didn't do anything in regards to extending the waiver, so the waiver is still going to expire on August 1st. I think the reason it's not a thing is because, and several people have said this, it's not like they're going to go around arresting people on August 2nd for wearing a mask in the middle of the pandemic. Like, that's not going to happen. So, at least
Correct.
Fingers crossed that's not going to happen. If it does, then it's going to be a big thing very quickly, but it's not going to.
Right.
So, I think we're okay on this, but...
So why were they up past midnight and all that? Was last night, was yesterday the end of the session?
It was the end of the session.
They,
yeah, they were taking a they're yeah. taking a they're taking their own hiatus now.
Well, we may all be safer for it.
So what's your next
Speaking
thing?
Speaking of things that keep you safe.
Yeah.
Oh well, I guess my next thing would be Trump's plummeting numbers. I think are a thing, but I think they're also a thing that's very easy to see in broad daylight and understand, which is, bad governance is bad politics mm-hmm. also.
I'm going to say, keep going. Sorry.
No, I'm going to say, the only evidence you need of that is to look at Mike DeWine, who is governor
mm-hmm.
of Ohio, who I wouldn't have given you a nickel for 6 months ago, but who I have grown to have a certain admiration for because I think he's doing a competent job as a governor protecting the citizens of his state and doing what he needs to do regardless of in a situation that frankly has no business being political and
mm-hmm.
he's treating it that way.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
If Trump were smart enough, which he isn't, to treat the pandemic in that same way from the White House, his numbers would be a lot better, even though the economy is still a negative story, but I don't think he'd be getting blamed for it like he is now.
No, absolutely not. And I think I'm going to say the changing poll numbers for Trump are not a thing only because they're actually not changing very much. Like his approval rating was like 42-43% before the pandemic hit 3 months ago, and now it's like 40-41. So it's gone down a couple of points, and that's about it. What's actually happening, what you're seeing in the polls that actually is changing, is more and more surveys are coming out showing Biden with a bigger and bigger lead in the general election.
Right.
And that's nothing to do
right.
with people changing their mind on Donald Trump. That's people who didn't really like Biden and weren't willing to say earlier in the year that they're definitely going to vote for him. They're finally starting to get on board and saying, okay, fine, I'm still not a huge fan of Biden, but I'll vote for him because the alternative is worse.
Oh,
I think
that's fair to say. And one of the numbers that I'm looking at, which I do think is a devastating indicator for Trump, is the long-ass standardized question. Do you think the country is going in the right direction or
uh-huh.
off on the wrong track? And that negative number of off on the wrong track is over 70%.
Yeah.
That's a big number, and that's a lot to overcome.
To
win re-election.
I also think you're exactly right with the Mike DeWine comparison, because I feel the same way about DeWine, like, three states away from Ohio, so I can't speak from a lot of experience, but I think you and I have the same reaction to DeWine earlier
right.
versus the way that he's handled the coronavirus crisis. And this, I think, speaks a lot to the situation with Trump and his status as president and his approval rating and all that, because he's still going out and his supporters are still going out and saying, well, this coronavirus thing is this not, no pun intended, trumped up thing that the Democrats are doing to try to discredit Trump. But, I mean, the fact of the matter is, like, whenever there's a crisis, people look to the president for leadership, and if the president actually leads, their approval numbers go up, not even just a little bit, but oftentimes dramatically, like George W. Bush after
right.
9/11. His approval rating was 85%. Mike DeWine was, not super popular, not super unpopular, like kind of 50-50, and as soon as he took charge on coronavirus, like his approval rating shot up, Roy Cooper shot up, Gretchen Whitmer shot up, even though there was a strong reopen movement there, most of the governors that really took a strong stand on the COVID-19 fight all saw their approval numbers shoot up. And if Trump had done that, he'd be in the 50s right now, and this wouldn't be a close election. Like, it really
wouldn't, but he didn't. That's right.
Yeah.
But because there are certain human capacities that are not available to him, like empathy and compassion and the ability to step back and say, this is not about me. And I'm not saying that to pile on in a petty way. I'm just saying that's just not who he is.
Mm.
He just thinks of himself as a strong man figure, and it's all about personal loyalty to him and how things affect him personally. It's just coming around to get him now. It's, you know, he can't change his personality to suit the situation. He just can't.
And
I don't think he's tried.
We got to wrap up. One more thing really quickly. A lot of people I'm seeing on social media are upset about the fact that Art Pope just got named to the Board of Governors. Thing, not a thing.
Oh, how many people are on the Board of Governors? Is one single appointment a big holy cow?
They're reducing the number. It's either 28 or 24 now, and I can't remember where they are in the reduction. I think it's 28 still. Don't quote me on that. I could be wrong. I'm only saying this into a live microphone.
Yeah, I feel like he's, you know, I think he's a very influential guy, and I probably wouldn't put him on my team. But I think he's, you know, one of more than two dozen people on a board, and, you know, it's the larger view of the board that's more concerning to me.
I'm gonna agree with you. I don't think he's the deciding vote on too many decisions that they're making here.
Yeah, right. Because he's ideologically very clear. He's not coming in as a swing vote or something, mm-hmm. whatever that would mean. I'm a lot more concerned about, you know, questions about whether or not college football is going to come back.
Oh, that is a thing, right?
And I mean, I just read this afternoon that 23 Clemson players have tested positive for COVID. And I'm going, are we going to have to wait until, you know, the offensive line of some school is all in the hospital before we say, no, we can't do it?
It'll be,
I mean, really?
Yeah. What happened with the NCAA tournament and college basketball is ultimately it came down to, it was Duke and Kansas. It was two schools, both of which had very strong potential to win the national championship. Both of them stepped up and said, we're not going to play anymore. And as soon as they did, then the whole house of cards fell from there, because if Duke and Kansas aren't in the tournament, then there's kind of no point in playing. I think it's going to be the same thing with college football. I think if all of the like major teams, like the Alabamas and the Clemsons, all still come September say, we're fine, we're going to go ahead, fans in the stands or no fans in the stands, we're going to do it, then we're going to do it. And if an Alabama or a Clemson or a Notre Dame or a Penn State or an Ohio State steps forward and says, you know what, we're not going to play this year, then I think you're going to see a lot of other schools kind of making the same decision. But
right.
that's just my right. guess. I don't know.
Yeah, I think we're all in a guessing game, and part of it is hoping that things are going to get significantly better in the next 6 weeks, which would be nice, but I'm not sure I wouldn't bet my lunch money on that.
Who's on the water cooler this weekend?
This weekend we have Penny Rich, and a wonderful friend of our show and yours too.
Awesome.
And we had a great talk about race relations, and of course a COVID-19 local update, which is always helpful. And I always enjoy having Penny on the show. I'm hoping that the next time she's on, she brings her mom with her. I haven't talked to Jackie in a while. And they're always a lot of fun to talk to together.
Saturday and Sunday at 9 a.m., Sundays at 1 p.m. and 8 p.m., weekendwatercooler.com for the full archive. Gene Bolduc, as always, thank you so much.
Thank you.